بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening at home, in last night's Taraweeh Salah, we heard Surah Al-Hashr being recited. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the very lofty status and position of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, those who were chosen by Allah to be the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is part of our aqidah, part of our belief system, that these individuals who were the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they were not there by chance, but they were there by choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected each and every one of them. That is why in one narration, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ نَظَرَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prior to creating mankind, Allah looked into the hearts of those that He would create. So from this we get an indication that the hearts were already created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah looked into the hearts of mankind, and Allah chose that heart which was the most pure and clean for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the hadith continues, ثُمَّ نَظَرَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ. Then once again, Allah looked into the hearts of mankind. فَوَجَدَ قُلُوبَ أَصْحَابِهِ خَيْرَ قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected the best hearts for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. فَاصْطَفَاهُمْ فَجَعَلَهُمْ وُزَرَاءَ نَبِيِّهِ يُقَاتِلُونَ عَنْ دِينِهِ. Allah then made them the vicegerents, the ministers of His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And their memo in this world, or rather that which they were selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do, يُقَاتِلُونَ عَنْ دِينِهِ, is they would fight, they would give everything for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a very strong part of our aqidah and belief that these individuals were handpicked and selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every single one of them was absolutely righteous, pious, and were the best of people after the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. And many verses of the Quran that categorically state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already expressed His pleasure with the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Radiyallahu anhum. We find this phrase in the Quran. Radiyallahu anhum means that Allah has already become pleased with them. Waradu'an, and they are pleased with Allah. In other words, they are happy to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this particular verse, the context of the discussion, Allah is speaking about the spoils of war. There's no time to go into the details regarding how the spoils of war are distributed. But the fuqaha have written that there are two distinct types of booty, of spoils of war. One is what we call mali ghanima, ghanimat, which refers to the spoils of war that are taken when the Muslim army overpowers the enemy. So this will be distributed in the following way, that 4/5 will be given to the mujahideen that participated in that particular battle, and 1/5 will go to the national treasury, the Baytul Mal, and then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would then distribute it from there to the poor, the needy. And the second type of spoils of war is what is known as fay. Fay refers to when the Muslim army goes to a certain place and the intention is to wage war against that particular group of people, but the enemy surrenders and there is no physical fighting that takes place, then whatever comes into our hands, this 4/5 will not go to the mujahideen. Rather, the entire amount will now go to the Baytul Mal, the national treasury, and from here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will then distribute this to the needy. So nevertheless, in this verse, Allah is speaking about who will these funds eventually go to. So Allah says, لِلْفُقَرَاءَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ. The first group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the muhajirin, those who migrated from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinah Munawwara. And then Allah enumerates a few of their qualities. Number one, أَلَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. They were evicted from their own homes. They were made to leave whatever was theirs in Makkah Mukarrama. وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ. Not just their homes, but their wealth, they were unable to carry whatever they, it was perhaps just the clothes on their back, just a few provisions. And there are many incidents also of Sahaba radiallahu anhum wanting to migrate to Madina Munawwara. The Quraysh would stop them and the Sahabi would say, listen, whatever I have you can take, just allow me to migrate. In our terms, what this would mean or translate to is that the call of Hijra is there. A person has so many bank accounts, so many investments, so many properties, pieces of land, and he says to those who are stopping him that here are all my passwords, here are all my cards, here are all my accounts, here are all the title deeds to my properties, just allow me to leave and go to Madina Munawwara. So they were evicted from their homes. They had to leave their wealth behind. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, why did they do this? يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا, seeking Allah's grace and Allah's pleasure. So Allah places a stamp of approval in the Quran that they did not go for any worldly motive, any ulterior motive, that we want to get close to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam so that our name can become high in this world, or perhaps we'll get some wealth that will come in. Rather, it was solely seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and in order to aid and assist Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. And then Allah says that they are the truthful ones. As-sadiq doesn't only refer to truthful in speech, but ulama say the highest level of sidq, of truthfulness, is that whatever is on the outside is a clear reflection of what is on the inside. Not like myself, that we portray one face to people, but inside it may not be like this. Whether it be our tawakkul, our yaqeen, trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear of Allah. But whatever they portrayed outwardly, this was what was within their heart. That is why Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was given the title As-Siddiq, that person who attained the highest level of sidq. So Allah speaks about the muhajirin. And then Allah speaks about the Ansar, those who were the locals of Madinah Munawwara who had accepted Islam. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. What attribute does Allah mention regarding them? يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They have genuine love for the muhajirin. Again, to put ourselves into context, today we have in many countries of the world refugees. They come from different countries, perhaps war-torn countries, and then they move over to another place. And commonly we hear and we read that when refugees come into any country, then this causes a great burden on the economy of that country. And there is great financial strain. And the citizens themselves eventually suffer. Many a times many services and many things that are supposed to be given to the citizens of the country, and these funds and resources now get diverted and given to these refugees, rightfully or wrongfully. But the sentiment generally in the world is that when refugees come over, it causes strain, and the citizens are the ones that will lose out. They will be disadvantaged. But here the Ansar had genuine love for the muhajirin, that they are coming over, and many a times they would then be made to share our homes, share our wealth. In fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would pair up one muhajir with one ansari, that you will now, he will be your brother. It was even called mu'akhat, brotherhood. He will be your brother, you will take care of him. He doesn't have, you must give him what you have. In other words, in our terms, share your home with him, give him one bedroom, one wing of the home. You have two cars, give him one car, and support him financially. But despite this, they still had love for them. Why? Because these were their brothers in deen. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. And then, the subsequent battles that would take place, when funds would come in, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would prioritize the muhajirin. They came from Makkah, they left everything behind, and they don't have much, so I will divert the majority of the funds towards them. The Ansar at this point could have said, we gave up our homes, gave up our wealth for them, and now you're still giving them the major portion of the spoils of war, but they do not find any need in their hearts for this. They are happy and prepared to allow the muhajirin to take these funds. And then not only do they allow them to take it, but they go one step further. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They give preference to others over themselves, even when they are going through straitened times. They may be living in poverty, but still they will give preference to somebody else over themselves. And we see this sometimes at the time of iftar. A person just has a few dates, and he sees some brother walking into the masjid. Without even giving it a second thought, he'll hand over his kajur to him. This is called ithar. Even though I was also fasting, but never mind, this person has come, maybe he doesn't have, so let me give him something. But in the back of our minds, we already know what's waiting for us at home. And we know how many we have, how much we have. Here, despite them not having anything to fall back on, no investments, no assets, nothing else, perhaps not even a steady stream of income, but they still gave preference to others over themselves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, after these two groups, the muhajirin and the ansar, there is a third group, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ, those that will come after them. In other words, the tabi'een, tabu' al-tabi'een, and right till our time, until the day of Qiyamah, the people of Iman. So what should be our attribute, our characteristic? يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. They make this dua, they say, O Allah, forgive us. So the first thing, to turn to Allah, to make istighfar. Why? That we cannot reach the level of those who came before us. These muhajirin and ansar, despite us striving to reach their heights, but it is impossible for us to ever match them. So Allah, forgive us for this. And O Allah, forgive our brothers that have come before us. Those who passed in the ummah, whatever shortcomings, whatever mistakes they may have made, overlook this. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And then the third part of this dua is that, O Allah, do not ever allow any dislike or any enmity to enter our hearts for our fellow believers, for our fellow Muslims. This is a very important and integral part of this dua. One is we ask Allah to forgive us, then to forgive those who passed before us, and then Allah should not ever cause any enmity or ill feeling to enter our heart regarding any other Muslim person. And the famous narration we've heard, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tells the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that I will show you a person who is from the people of Jannah. So they wait eagerly, and then a man enters the masjid, and his limbs are dripping with the water of wudu. He has his shoes in his left hand. He places his shoes down. He goes and he performs salah. But there's nothing extraordinary about him and what he does. Second day, again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says this, let me show you a person who is from the people of Jannah. Again, the same person enters. Third day, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu is curious. So he goes to this person and he says, listen, he makes up some story. He says that I had an altercation with my father, an argument with my father, and I took a qasam that I will not stay under his roof. So I need some accommodation for a few days. So will you host me? The person agrees. So he goes and he spends a few days and nights in this person's home. And he observes him and he sees there's nothing extraordinary about his ibadat. He's reading his salah, perhaps his Quran, whatever it may be. But he's not doing anything extra. After a few days pass, Abdullah bin Amr bin As then says to this person, listen, I want to come clean. I didn't have any altercation with my father. I didn't take any qasam or anything of this sort. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned regarding you that you are from the people of Jannah. And tell me, what is the reason for this? So the person says, you know what, I don't know why he mentioned this about me. There's nothing special about me or my actions. And then finally, after some time, he thinks and he says to him that there is just one thing. And that is, I ensure that every evening or every night when I retire to bed, I do not allow any ill feelings to remain in my heart for any believer. وَلَا أَحْسُدُ. And I do not even have any jealousy or envy over any Muslim person. Perhaps it is because of this that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I am from the people of Jannah. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ